Say it back to yourself.
Okay. I'm sure it's not, but 1 Corinthians chapter 12, let's pick back up verse 12 and see how far we'll get down. And just as a review, slight review, is where Paul is taking up the subject of spiritual gifts, and obviously the Corinthians were abusing the spiritual gifts or misusing them. And he's writing to them to explain to them, number one, the purpose of them, and as we go further, how to operate in those gifts. She distracted me. What do you want me to do?
I'm just making sure it's recorded. I'm just
going
to let it sit there.
Okay.
As a backup.
Okay, that's good. We'll use that as a backup. Okay. That's fine.
You turn the microphone away from you. There we go.
Okay. Back again. That was 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And he's writing to them to show them how they were abusing the gifts and how they are to use the gifts, what they were for. And in verse, we left off at verse, as a matter of fact, we'll just read chapter 12. He says, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant." And they were. "Ye know that ye were Gentiles, carried away unto these dumb idols, even as ye were led. Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal." And he's given them the foundation to work from. When he's talking about it, he says, you used to be Gentiles, carried away or deceived by idols and spiritual gifts. You know, the idol, they thought the idol had some type of spiritual power to it. And a lot of times they use those idols, and I don't know how it was done, but they would pretend that the idol was speaking. And that's where they got their instruction from. But we read last week that the idol was what?
No.
A dumb idol. It didn't hear, it didn't see, it didn't smell, it didn't taste, it didn't speak. That was a satanic diversion. And he says, "I'm letting you know now that no man that speaks by the Spirit of God calls Jesus a curse." So if you hear that in your assembly, guess what? You know. It's a device of the adversary. And he says, and I'm telling you again, that no man can say that Jesus is Lord but by the Holy Ghost. So if you hear him say that, guess what?
He's right.
He's legit. And he says, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. I think I was writing this down last week and I forgot. He said there were diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit, right? And there are differences of administrations, but the same
Lord.
But the same Lord. And there are differences or adversities of operations, but the same God. Now we talk about this all the time. Well, we take it for granted that you have we call it the Trinity by accommodation. But the proper term is the Godhead.
Right.
Now, contrary to most, some religions, they think they operate separately. But we know that they work as a unit. I'm thinking of Genesis in chapter 1. He says, let us make man in our image. And they said, well, there's three of them back there. But we know that it's a triunity. And they would not do anything against each other. Even though he lists three, Paul says, hey, there's different gifts, but it's what? One Spirit. There's different administrations, but there's one Lord. There's different operations, but there's one God. He says, and the Spirit will distribute to every man as it pleases him. But, he said in verse 7, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit all in the assembly. If they can be separate and yet together, why can't you, Corinthians? Why can't you have different gifts to benefit one common goal? If he appeals when he gives information, he has to give someone who's setting the example to follow. Who better than to go to the Godhead to say, look how they work together. For God, the whole thing originates with God, doesn't it? It's his purpose and plan. And the Lord, the whole thing, I would say, is organized through the Son. You ever heard this term where we talk about the Lord Jesus Christ being the expressive member of the Godhead? You ever heard anybody use that term? The expressive member of the Godhead? That is, there's a verse in Hebrews that talks about when the Lord said, sacrifice and offerings thou wouldest not, but a body thou hast prepared me. He says, to do thy will, O God, I come. In the volume of the book, it is written of me. He comes to put in order all the things that God wants. That's why they call him the expressive member of the Godhead. And you think about the...
He expresses the mind or the will of them all.
Right.
Yeah.
That's the... Right. He... Well, I think we were talking last week about Colossians, where it talked about Jehovah. He says, all things were created by him and for him. All what things? All the things that, whether in heaven or earth, whether they be thrones, dominions, principalities, all these things are there for him and by him. Okay. And yet, so God the Father, we know that all things originate from God. The Son is all these positions. Who put them there? Who put them in place? We're going to find out. It was the Lord who did it. He put those positions in the church.
Did he facilitate the plan?
He facilitated the plan. I think it more than, facilitate. You got a stronger word than that?
Maybe not right now.
He administered the plan. And the Spirit, we would say the Spirit, you see the outworking of that, or the empowering of it. But they're not, even though they have different, they function differently, it's still what?
One.
It's the Godhead. So we don't get excited when you see, I pick one verse in Matthew, where you see Jesus getting baptized, God the Father speaking from heaven, and the Holy Ghost coming down on him. And they say, wow. See that? It's three separate ones. Well, how could God the Father be... we won't get tied up there. First Corinthians, he says, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all. So the Corinthians, they have to see that even though we're many, we still work together for what? One purpose. And it's not ours. It should not have been theirs. He says, for to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to, notice that's a small s. I like how the Lord does that. He gives you the Spirit, capital S, the Spirit 8, capital S, the Spirit 9, capital S, and verse 10, little s. He wants you to know that that's the discerning of Spirit. When we just talked about it, no man can say this but by the Spirit. He means the big S, not the little S. If you hear a guy talking with a little S, he may say anything. But if he's speaking with the big S, we know from last week that he will always glorify what? The Lord. Remember we looked at that in, what was it, John? That when the Spirit comes, he will not speak of himself, but he will glorify me. They're working together. When the Lord told those disciples, he said, when I leave, I won't leave you alone. I'm going to send He's working for me, with me, for you. He says, verse 10, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and the self-same, capital S, Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. Who gets the gifts?
The body.
The body.
Heaven.
Where did they get it from? From the Spirit. Now, I said this a long time ago. I went to a church about 2 months ago. I had never been there before. And it was about a 2 hour long service. And we're sitting there and they were getting ready to, I guess the climax was coming. So the preacher, he's ramping up and then he says, okay, everybody come down now. So they come down to the front and I think, what's going on? I'm watching this. And then they have about 5 or 6 people, they line up and they're all standing in a row and he says, do you want the gift? Do you want the gift? Come down if you want the gift now. I'm thinking, okay, this ought to be interesting. And they started making those people speak in tongues. Not given by the Spirit, it was coerced. It was given by them. And it was not the capital S. They had another spirit working in them, but it wasn't the Holy Spirit. And they were like, just Just say this. Just say anything. Say anything. Just say anything. Don't think about it. Just say it. Just say it. And they were holding him on the stomach. Like, just say it. Just say anything. You go, come from here. Come from here. And you can just see the people. And I thought, wow. This verse says, but all these gifts worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally. As who gives the gift? The Holy Spirit gives the gift as He will. You can't give it to me. I can't give it to you. And nobody you know can give it. And nobody you meet will be able to give it. It just, you're looking at the verses. You say, well, how do you know that? Because I'm reading it. I'm reading that the only way you get it is through the Holy Spirit. He didn't have Paul over there, or one of those Corinthians over there, and said, okay, say something. Say something. He didn't have anybody there to facilitate what he's doing. Only to regulate. And Paul does that by his writings. He says, verse 12, for as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that body being many are one body, so also is Christ. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. He's given an analogy of the human body to help you explain, to help him explain how the body of Christ works. Our body has what?
Many members.
Many members. But it's still what?
One body.
He says, it's just like Christ. He says they have many members, but it's still what?
One body.
I watched the Ex Machina, the other word, Ex Machina, whatever the movie was, and had her arm cut off, and she went to there was other.
This is a robot.
Other robots in the cabinets, I guess, closets, and she went into the closet and took off one of the robot's arms and put it on her arm, and I thought. I said, that made me think about the body, where one person is out. Paul, he says, you know what? I'm sending this guy, and it fit right in there. I know, y'all missed that, didn't you? Where you think when Paul's writing, he says, I can't make it. He said, but I'm going to send Timothy, another member of the body, and he'll fit right in there. You think he knew what was going on? How the body works? He said, there's another effectual working member that I can put in that spot, and he'll keep the body going like it's supposed to go. Like a new arm. Like I never lost it. And he says that the body being many is one, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. The Holy Spirit does that. He put us into the body. He caused us to be partakers of one another. We joked about him not being here, but when you're part of the body, you know what? You miss that. I'm going to pick with Ed for a minute here. Since now he a while ago, he had to cut a piece of his ear off. I bet you, when he's messing with his ear or something, he says, "Man, I sure missed that little piece." Don't you?
Yeah.
He knows something. He said, "What? I know it's not supposed to be. I can still hear, but it's not the same. I can hear fine. I just doesn't. I can know. I know it's something supposed to be there." So what? We go as planned, but I know somebody's supposed to be sitting right there. And he says, "We are so being many members, we are one body, and have been all made to drink into one spirit." Now here's one of those terms. You know, we talked about some of those things like background. He says, when he says drink into one spirit, we know now that we are all partakers of what the Spirit has to offer, what the Spirit is doing. There's not a believer that's in Christ who is not a partaker, or should be a partaker of the Spirit. Let me rephrase that. There's not a believer that does not have the Spirit. And there's not a believer that shouldn't be able to partake in body life. I'm going to use a human example. Your human body. What do you use every day? Some of the body? Unless you're paralyzed, you use what? The whole body. Not even knowing. Right? Because all the members are what? And they're still what? One body. So the body of, talking about the body of Christ, he said, this body, you know, they're all members of what? One another. And we all partake. Well, my whole body partakes in the activity that I go through every day. Don't they? Your members? Whether they want to or not. They all go with me. Yeah, I don't get up and go and my foot, you know what, sometimes you wake up and say, "Oh, my leg is asleep." But you know what? He'll come around. We got to go. All of us. Right. He says, "For the body is not one member, but," verse 14, "but many. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? Of course not. And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? No. If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it hath pleased him." You know what? You can't say, you know what? We have and I can bet the Corinthians, one of the reasons I said, why are they so fascinated with tongues? The Corinthians. You ever thought about that? Why were they so fascinated with the least gift?
It was showy.
It was what? Most visible? You know what? And one thing that when we first started.
There's only Christ still there today. I mean, it's a personality fake.
Yeah, it's the most visible one. It's one that they all can do, and it doesn't really have to be validated. Only that's why he said, "Look, if you're going to talk, you better have an interpreter." Mm-hmm. Now, nobody interpreted the things that I saw. Nobody interpreted. They were just all talking. You said, "I thought." What did that say? That said, it was about six or seven of them, and they said, look, this said one, two, three at the most, and men, and in course, and interpret. You got women, you got six or seven people up, they're all doing it at one time, nobody's interpreting. That's not the Spirit. That's the Spirit. That's not the big Spirit, the Holy Spirit. That is carnal.
The big C.
The big C. Well, how do you know that, Frank? Well, we haven't got there yet because it's been written. How to detect that? How to discern that? He says, God had put them in the body as it had pleased him. There you have the originator, the organizer, and the outworker. They know what they're doing, don't they?
When it talks about the different, like the nose, not the eye, is that kind of referring also to just like they were maybe one different places, like a different power,
Sure. You notice in verse. He uses those different parts of the body because this body, this spiritual body, had different parts. They had nine gifts. And he says, you all don't have the same gift. But you can't say, because I don't have this gift, I'm not of the body.
Yeah.
And you can't say, because I have the gift of wisdom, I'm not of the body. He said, you guys work together for the whole. Stop wanting what he is, and you stop wanting what he is. Be who you are.
Yeah.
Be who God made you. Well, I'm not the hand. You know what? A long time ago, we had this was a chart at the church in First Philippians in Detroit. We drew a man. It was a man, and it said the body of Christ, whatever. And so it says, well, everybody, you know what? You go and put your name in there, in the body, because you're all in the body. Guess what? I'm going to let you guess. Guess what happened?
They all put it in the head.
They all put it in the head. They put all the names are in the head. Unconsciously. Nobody put a name around the foot. Nobody put it in the leg. Nobody put it on the arm. And everybody went and put it in the hand.
Yeah, one part.
Isn't that just like them? Human nature, that's right. They all put it right in the head. I thought, some truth in that.
Yeah.
And Paul, that's why Paul had to write him. He says, as it pleased God. See, the big thing is this, is they're at Corinth. We'll say they're at Corinth, but that's just one geographical location. Well, his program is worldwide. So they're going out from Corinth with what? They're going out from Corinth. I don't have to do all this. Huh?
With the gospel.
So this is God's local assembly. God's here. Well, if God's here, then he's gotta be what? He's gotta be organized. Right? He wouldn't just be doing anything in here. So what comes out of here has got to be in order, decently and in order. Well, the thing is riding on who? The Corinthians. I've empowered you. I've organized you. The church is there. You're a witness to all these people out here. So what God is doing. Jews and Gentiles. They come in and we're going to find out. He said, if somebody comes in here and see you acting like that, What is he going to say? Are you not mad? They have to come in and they have to, at this time, we know that because God is still, he's using what? Signs. To prove that guess who's here? Sorry, we talked about it. We guess who's here? I'm not in the synagogue. The instrument I was using is gone. Now I'm using these Corinthians to prove to you that I'm where? I'm here now, not with you, with the Jews. That's why they had those gifts as a sign. And yet, he's leaving the Jewish program and building up the what?
The
Gentiles, the body of Christ. The proof is, when they see these things operating, they see where he's working. He said, well, God's with us. Prove it. Well, look what we're doing. Everything that you should be doing, we're doing. He's not trying to prove that today. Everybody knows we live in the dispensation of grace. We got the whole program right here. Even people who think they operate in the sign gifts know we live in the dispensation of grace. Now, they don't know how to rightly divide it. They don't know how to leave those things that were not in grace in the law and put the things that are in grace in grace. That's why they pick up these things. Well, we know. We know what God's doing today. So anyway, he says that the God has, he put these members in the body as it pleased him, verse 19. And if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are they many members, yet but one body. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. They can't. None of those believers, when God gave those nine gifts, they all were necessary. Every one of them. For what he was doing. So you couldn't be a Corinthian and say, hey, we got the apostles, prophets, we don't need the rest of those. Really? What's that? I think, no, that's fine. I'm sure it's me. Who says, you cannot say, 21, that I cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. 22, nay, much more, those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor. And our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness, for our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked. We think about when was the last time you, I can't use that, I'm thinking most women polish their toenails, but when was the last time you really sat down and coddled to your big toe?
The last
time you stubbed it. While you're going through day to day, you know what? You look at your face, your arms, maybe your legs, your torso. You never say, let me see how my toe is looking. Nobody thinks of that. Because they're comely. But let something happen to it. You know what? You can, your whole, if you hurt your, guess who knows that it's hurting now? the whole body. And use like just that little, or get a splendor in your finger or something. A member that you normally would overlook and take for granted, but something happens to it, like, wow, man, that's really,
it was important.
You know what? You don't think about it, let a chunk of your ear get out. And you think, man, you know what? When you look in the mirror, first thing you see is what? That little piece that's out. Everything else can be fine, like, man. And that, how's that look? It's fine. Man. Sure missed that. You give more abundant honor to it. So you can't say that I have no need of it. It's part of the body. It's there for a reason. Right? He says, I like this, he says, for our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked. It's like, wow. He purposely exalted the parts that they considered insignificant. You know what he says? He says, for God did this, and he did that so there would be no divisions in the body. He says, I fixed it just so you can be a big I and everybody else the little you.
You miss a few toes, you can't walk.
That's right. You know what? I work with a guy, and both of his pointer fingers won't bend. I don't know how he lasts in this business. We have to measure things. We have to disconnect things. And I watch him sometimes when like a guy comes in and we have to do some troubleshooting or something, and he can't bend these fingers, huh? You know what he does? Nope. He says, hey, Frank, I need your help.
Or everything's always that day.
He delegates, so you don't come, see? And I thought, and so I joke now. I said, if I see him in the middle, I said, you need some help. I know you have some challenges. So. But it's hard, isn't it?
Yeah, it's hard. Just at the end, it's not easy.
Well, my wife, for whatever reason, I don't know why, she didn't need to get stuff off top of the circle.
That's it. Okay. But anyway, that's a handicap.
Yeah.
Where to go day to day, your functionality is down to a minimum. Just two members of the body. He can't go and say, well, just cut them off. They're no good anyway. Just cut them off.
Mm-hmm.
Because as poorly as they operate, they still operate.
Yeah.
You know, he could still dig in his nose if he wanted to. He could dig in his ear if he wanted to. You know I was going to do that. But they're useful. it's a verse in Psalms where I thought about this, where he said that God has tempered the body together. That means that he has mixed it the way he wanted it. He's interwoven it
Strengthen it.
Ephesians would say he has fitly framed it together for his benefit. And the verse is in Psalms. It said that he, the body, he's talking about the human body, just like this is. He said, find that. Psalm, the 74 Psalm. That's too close. No. That's not it. Sorry. He says, yeah, I'm fearfully and wonderfully made.
Oh.
When my substance was wrought in the curiously wrought in the lower parts of the earth.
It's in 51.
51?
Verse 39,
maybe? Yeah, that sounds right. Psalm 139. All right. Psalm 139. He says, verse 13. For thou hast possessed my reins, thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect, and in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned when as yet there was none of them. You say, what you read that for? And I think about that, where this is the psalmist. He's talking about his human body. And think about the body of Christ, where that scripture said that he was fearfully and wonderfully made. He was curiously wrought in the lower parts of the earth. And really, he's talking about it in the belly, in the womb. But what I want is this. He says, fearfully, wonderfully made, curiously wrought. Who does the rotting? The Lord. And the body is just like Paul said, that we're his workmanship.
Mm-hmm.
That's just like the workmanship in the womb, where you don't see it. Well, now they see it. They have technology now where they can see the development. But before that, who could see what's going on in secret? And their ears are growing, nose is growing, hands, feet, members of the body, the members of the body parts are growing in secret. And the Lord says it's a curious work. You know, in the Old Testament, where they were building the tabernacle, and he would always use this terminology like this. He said, take the workmen, and he would give them the spirit that they might work curious work, skillful workmanship in all matter of needlework and embroidery. He said, so what? You ever seen the needlework?
Fine detail.
How much?
Precision.
How much?
Fine.
Fine detail, precision. That's why he called it curious work. Workmanship, embroidery, very detailed. He says, the body of Christ is just like that. He puts it just where it needs to be, how many, how it works. He's all that he's under control of. And it's organic. It's an organism. And there's no organization. There's no organism without organization. You can't run it like an organization, but it's organized like the body. Is this not organized? How much organization do you think it takes for me to do this? I want to raise both my hands up at the same time. Look at that. That's amazing. There's some organization in here, isn't it? See that? Now, if I wasn't organized or something was going wrong, but it all comes from the what? From the head.
You see it like when they try to, you know, like get robots in, you know, like people and walk upstairs and stuff, how clumsy and, you know.
That's right. They fall over sometimes because it's not coordinated enough.
You know, the natural struggle when you walk is, you know, your hands are supposed to be coordinated. You may have your hands coordinated, but you may not notice that if you're out for a walk, your hands.
That's your way
to go. That's your leg stride.
Look, we're so far advanced. If I wanted to walk backwards, I can walk backwards. That's what I'm saying. You see what I'm saying about the body being fearfully and wonderfully made. If he says that about your human body that you see, what do you think about what he's doing with the body of Christ that you can't see?
It must be amazing.
It must be amazing. That's why he says, you know what? The only problem is you won't function right. You're like this. you're like the finger that won't bend on that guy.
Or you keep trying to get up to the head.
Or right.
It's trying to get someone else to do his function.
And you know what? It's just, that's why he says in verse 25, he says, I did this that there be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. Or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now ye are the body of Christ and members in particular. And God has set some in the church. In the church. First, apostles. Secondarily, prophets. Thirdly, teachers. After that, miracles. Then gifts of healings, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. Are all apostles?
No.
Are all prophets?
No.
Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? Have all the gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? The answer would have to be what?
No.
To every one of them. Because we already know that God has divided to every man his own gift differently. He says, but. For next week, he says, but. Covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet show I unto you something even better. So we'll find out what that is.